Chapter 4, The Brown Scapular and Deliverance from Unexpected Accidents. A Letter to a Priest. Some time ago, a man named Strong jumped from a coal train, which was crashing through a trestle about 60 feet high. As he leaped, he cried, "Mary, help me!" And he escaped without a hurt. He said that he believed the scapular saved him. A Case of Protecting Love. When leaving home last spring to enter into business in Buffalo, the mother of a young man placed about his neck a scapular. Despite not having much faith in the brown scapular, he still wore it constantly. Last August, he stood one day near a large pile of lumber, taking down the names and the time of work from one of the men who had bent down to tie his own shoe. Suddenly, a shout from a man on the lumber pile caused both to look up. The boards were leaning forward, about to lose their balance. The poor workman ran from the toppling lumber, but before he could reach a point of safety, he was engulfed by the boards. The young man who wore the scapular, by some instinct he could not explain, ran to one side and avoided the deadly crashing of the lumber boards. He can claim no cause of escape other than the protecting love of Our Lady, and because of this, he resolved to always wear the scapular henceforth. A young girl was playing by a fast-moving river on iron grating, when suddenly the gate on which she stood gave way and she fell into the water, with the iron gate grabbing around her foot. The bed of the stream at this point was a considerable depth and was confined between two walls. Nay, more, the current was extremely swift, and lower down dashed onto the double arches of a bridge. How could this girl, with the grate the whole time around her feet, swim in such a place? How could she survive? And yet, she was there for 10 minutes. It was inexplicable. But the heroine, in the fullness of her faith, explains it thus. "My first thought was that I would have drowned. Soon I remembered the power of Mary, and fervently cried aloud, 'Blessed Mother, save me! I wear the scapular!' And that dear mother heard my prayer." A young man was preparing to go on a fishing excursion. While dressing, he thought he would leave off his scapulars, as the cord was considerably frayed. He mentioned this fact to his sister. She chastised him, and after a good deal of persuasion, induced him to wear the scapulars. During the day, the boat which held this young man and his companion capsized. The companion could swim, but the other could not. The first name said he would bring him safe to shore. He took a cramp, however, and went down to rise no more. Our young man was rescued after going down once or twice. When he was brought to shore and his clothing removed, it was found that although his apparel was soaked through, the scapulars were perfectly dry. This was noted not by Catholics, but by Protestant rescuers. It is safe to say our young man will never think of leaving off the scapular again. The following incident is from the life of Father Badore, S.J., in an extract from a biographical notice which appears in the annals of the Society of Jesus. One of the most terrible railway accidents in France occurred in the Versailles Railway in 1842. Among the few passengers who escaped with their lives was a young barrister from Ussel, François Badoir, who was preparing for his degree as a doctor of law in Paris. At the depot, something happened which made him change his compartment. He had already taken his seat in the coach when he noticed that the conversation of his fellow passengers, three libertines, was worse than loose, and at the risk of not finding another seat, he stopped the conductor, who came to close the door, descended, and with great difficulty found a seat in another compartment. "I shall be less comfortable," he thought, "but I would rather suffer some inconvenience than to be obliged to be in bad company." At the moment of the terrible collision at Bellevue, although bruised, he succeeded in disengaging himself from the wreck and jumping on the roadbed, just as his coach was enveloped in flames. Dragging himself along on hands and knees, he succeeded in climbing up the embankment and then crawling through the fence. A little further on, he fell, exhausted, and lost consciousness. After a while, When the sharp pain in his foot woke him, he found himself stretched on the ground in the midst of a vineyard, without help in sight. He began to pray. As night approached, noticing a lantern, he shouted for help and was heard. He was brought to the Necker Hospital, where Dr. Netlau was examining his foot. He himself was looking for his scapular, and when he found it on his breast, showing the image of the Blessed Virgin, he said, "Behold the one who saved me." Several papers of the period relate these words. The coach, which he had abandoned on leaving the depot, was completely annihilated with all of its passengers. But Francis Badoir was not yet out of danger. The fracture of his foot extended from ankle to knee. Several little bones were crushed. For a while it seemed as if the gangrene had set in, and the sick man was placed before the alternative of choosing amputation or death. He accepted all with perfect resignation. But God destined Francois for a long life to be spent in his service and promoting his glory, and was satisfied with his acceptance of the sacrifice demanded. The skill of Dr. Natlau triumphed. The foot was saved, but remained feeble, often painful. 7 weeks after the accident, the young barrister, walking on crutches, came to the Jesuit church, there to make a public communion of thanksgiving. An interior voice kept urging him to consecrate the life which had been so wonderfully spared to the sole service of the great God who had been so merciful. He made a retreat in secret and concluded to give himself to God without reserve. Returning to Ussel, he gave all his possessions to the poor and succeeded in gaining the consent of all his people, excepting his father. Not being able to overcome the opposition of his father, he escaped his vigilance one night by crawling out a window on the first floor of the house. He went to his older sister, Mrs. Bolette, and begged her to console his father. He then took the stagecoach, and arriving at Toulouse, entered the novitiate of the Jesuit fathers. Soon after, a happy change took place in the heart and mind of his father, and the young man was left undisturbed in peace and tranquility of his religious life.